Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
We're going to continue this series on wise guys that Pastor Steve started in all of our seven locations a week or two ago. And as always, it is a huge honor to talk about Jesus in Wave Church at our Great Neck campus. I love what God is doing in this campus. I love what God is doing in all of our campuses, but I especially love what God is doing in this campus. I love that we are a church of vision. Pastor Steve and Sharon this morning. If you don't know who I am, my name is Josh. I'm the campus pastor here at our Great Neck campus. And Pastor Steve and Sharon, our senior pastors, are in Africa this morning at Watoto Church, one of the largest, most influential churches in the continent of Africa, probably the biggest church in Uganda. And what that church, what Watoto Church is doing, many of us know we support that church, is they're really changing and shaping their nation. And this morning, as we do church, we are also having an influence in one of the most influential churches in the world. So we're going to pray for Pastor Steve and Sharon this morning. Before we do that, we're going to read some Bible. Is that okay? Could you stay standing with me just while we read this Bible? And then I promise we're going to sit down. Is that a deal? Can I get an amen? And if the band, if you could just stay with me until we pray. And if you could keep playing keys while I read the Bible so it sounds more spiritual, I'd really appreciate it. John 11 is what we're going to talk about this morning. I have wrestled with this story, and I really believe that the Holy Spirit, I know this word is for me, but I really believe that it is for many people in this room. I believe it's for all of us, but especially some individuals in this room, a certain season that you may be walking, and I believe the Holy Spirit wants to encourage you. John 11 says this. This is a story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. Maybe you've heard it before. We're going to jump in. And we're gonna, I'm kind of gonna try and give the essence and heart of this story so we have it, and then we'll go from there. Is that a deal? Verse 11 says this. Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. These are the characters in this story. And the Bible gives us some context. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus. They're friends with Jesus. And they send word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus is sick. Verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus said, "The sickness will not end in death." Now, he's not with Mary and Martha, so they don't hear him say this. He's with his disciples. And he says, "No, it is for God's glory that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We know Jesus is friends, close friends with his family. Now, this is interesting what takes place between verse 5 and 6. Jesus loves them, so when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. That's interesting to me, because in my perspective, if Jesus heard that his friend was sick, he would have left immediately to go to Lazarus. There's a delay that takes place. He says to his disciples, after 2 days, waiting 2 days, let us go back to Judea. We'll go down to verse 17. Are you still okay standing? Still with me? Verse 17 says, on his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus is dead. Jesus, from our perspective, is too late. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed home. Verse 21, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, and I want you to try and capture and understand the heart of this honest response to Jesus. She sent word to Jesus that Lazarus was sick, and he waits two more days. And when Jesus shows up, Lazarus is already dead. Look what she says. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that now even God will give you whatever you ask. Yet she doesn't ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha's response to that is, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus, I know you can do it someday. I just don't know if you can do it in my now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is a powerful moment, Jesus revealing who he is. The great I am. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe? Somebody say believe. Believe. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you are the Messiah. She's one of the few individuals in scripture that says this specific statement, the Son of God who is to come into the world. After she said this, are you still with me? We're almost done. She went back and called her sister. Not done with the message. I got a lot of preaching to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. her sister Mary aside, the teacher is here, she said, now, and is asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn. Now watch this. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet. She's mourning. She's grieving the death of her brother. And she says the same thing that her sister says, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he asked, where have you laid him? Come and see, they replied, verse 35, Jesus wept. I think it's interesting. Jesus gives us some pastoral care advice here. Even though he knew the outcome was different than they realized in the moment, he doesn't just go into the situation and say, hey, stop crying. I'm gonna do something. You don't need to grieve or mourn. I think Jesus shows us there's some pastoral care advice. Even though we may believe the outcome may be different than somebody else, doesn't mean we can't empathize. Can't understand where people are at. Verse 36, then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he have opened the eyes of the blind man and kept this man from dying? Verse 38, Jesus once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It's kind of foreshadowing his own resurrection. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. And Jesus says, take away the stone. Are you still with me? We're gonna sit down in a moment, I promise. Jesus says, could it not be more obvious? Remove the stone. Martha's response, by this time, Jesus, there's a bad odor. He's been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, there it is again, somebody say believe, you will see the glory of God. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this out loud for the benefit of the people standing here that you may believe. There it is again. Somebody say believe. That you may believe, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. Verse 45. Therefore, many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus had did, believed in him. If we were to have a subtitle this morning to this message in this Wise Guys series, it would be this, believe again. Amen. Believe again. Turn to your neighbor before we pray and just look at him and just encourage him. Say, hey, get your hopes up. Turn to your other neighbor that you just ignored and say, hey, you get your hopes up too. Let's pray, and then we'll take a seat. I made a promise. Jesus, I thank you. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here. Jesus, I have wrestled with this story and this scripture, and it has so challenged me, and I pray that you would speak through me this morning, that you'd speak through us to your word. I pray for your power, your authority, your anointing. Without it, I am nothing. Jesus, I thank you that your gospel is so good that those of us who are new here this morning are questioning faith, questioning the church. I thank you that we belong before we behave like we should. And we can belong before we even believe like we should. God, I thank you that you've designed and orchestrated for every human heart to be in this room today. I thank you there's people here that don't know you personally, because at the end of the service, they're gonna have the opportunity to respond, not to religion, but to a relationship with you. And God, I'll put off praying for the Jets until next year, and we'll just stand together for Alabama that they will somehow make the playoffs. And everybody said, everybody said, give somebody a high five while you take your seat. I was thinking about this series on wisdom, and it made me think about, you ever see people do things and you look at them do something and you think that was unwise? You ever done that? You ever done something yourself and after the fact, you think to yourself, that was unwise? I have some things this morning that I thought that we could go through, the unwise and things that are wise, and some of these are personal opinion, and they're my personal opinion, and I haven't biblically proven it yet, but I'm working on it, so I'm just gonna say some of them. One of them is this, is I heard this recently in the Halloween season, I believe this is unwise, is to put mayonnaise on a Reese's cup. I know you're shocked, just as shocked as I am. There are people in this room, Pastor Chris Elliott, who thinks it is wise to put mayonnaise on a Reese's cup. That should be illegal. It's unwise. I know this from experience. If you're moving, if you're going to move a mattress from your house to somewhere else with a pickup truck, even if your friends tell you and convince you you don't need to strap that mattress down, believe me, you do. And that mattress will go way higher in the air than you ever thought it could. It's unwise, this is a basic one, I think we can all agree on this, to spend more than you earn. This is another one, and this one's a little personal. I think it's unwise to eat crunchy peanut butter. There's those of us who eat creamy peanut butter, can I get an amen? And there's those of us who eat crunchy peanut butter. Peanut butter's personal. There's also those who eat crunchy and creamy peanut butter, and if that's you, I don't trust you. It's unwise to cheer, I know this firsthand experience, many persecuted years, to cheer for the New York Jets. This last one, I am fairly confident we can all agree on. This is maybe the most unwisest, if that's a word, thing that takes place in the city of Virginia Beach and Hampton Roads is feeder roads. Feeder roads. I want to go back to the meeting of when they were designing and deciding the roads that we were going to make. And I want to go back to the meeting and I want to hear the conversation say, hey guys, it's time to do the roads. Should we do it like every other city in America that has worked since the beginning of roads? And I want to know the individual that raised his hand. I know it's a he because the Bible says that wisdom is a she. Ladies, can I get an amen? I want to know the guy who raised his hand and said, why don't we go against the grain? And let's create more roads to create more confusion and chaos than nobody will understand. And then I want to know everybody in the room that thought, that's a good idea. Does anybody like the feeder roads? All right, here's some wise things. Number one, I think it's wise to make eggnog a year-round drink. Why does it have to be seasonal? I think it's wise to budget. I think it's wise to be, the Bible shows us it's wise to budget. The Bible shows us it's wise to be in a community group. The Bible says that the person who isolates themselves rages against all wisdom. Our community group semester for the fall just ended this week, and we're on CG break and we head back into January. It doesn't mean we go on break from doing life together, but something we are very passionate about as a church is not just showing up here on Sunday, but doing life together Monday through Sunday. Can I get an amen? Another one is this, I believe it is wise to fry your turkey for Thanksgiving. If you want to taste and see that the Lord is good, my friend, put that sucker in a fryer. Taste the goodness of a fried turkey. The last one is this, and this is what I want to talk about this morning. I believe it's wise to get your hopes up. I believe it's wise to believe again. Even in the midst of darkness and uncertainty and when it doesn't make sense to, I want to suggest to you and I this morning that it's actually wise to believe again. And it's wise to get your hopes up. Josh, why do we need to be reminded to believe again, to get our hopes up? Well, the Bible clearly tells me and shows us and reminds us there is an enemy. His name is the devil, and his mission and his goal is to seek, kill, and destroy your hope, your belief, and your passion. And if he can, he knows, if he can just get you to stop believing enough, you will accept something that God never called you to accept. If he knows he can get you to stop believing enough, you will accept that sickness, and you'll accept that diagnosis, and you'll accept that maybe divorce is the only option for your marriage, and you'll accept the fact that maybe your son or daughter will never come back to God. You will accept the bad report. You will accept the negativity. I think it's important, I think it's imperative this morning that we understand there is an enemy, there is a devil who is a liar, who is constantly trying to speak into your situation to convince you to believe the lie. Hey, that situation, yeah, don't get your hopes up. Hey, that thing you've been believing for, hey, you can stop believing for that. You can stop believing. It's not just the enemy, it's not just the devil. Life is pretty good at times, relentless at testing our faith, at decaying our hope, at tearing down our belief. I bring this up this morning, church, because I have found myself too often living in the posture of defeat. And I've met too many Christians living in the posture of lost hope. I wonder this morning, if I could ask the question, I wonder, what is the posture of your belief this morning? What is the posture of your belief? I told you I'm a Jets fan. And if I'm being honest with you, the faith of the, my Jets faith has grown weary. Here's why. Because year after year and year after year, I'm the guy trying to convince everybody, even though ESPN experts rank us at 31 or 32 every year, I'm the guy that says, no, I'm not going to listen to the naysayers and the experts. We got a new quarterback. We got new cheerleaders. We got a new coach. We got a new general manager. We got a new water boy. We got a new turf on the field. This is going to be the year that we're going to maybe, just maybe, make the playoffs. You watch. But year after year, now I get to the middle of the season, and maybe on the outside I'm pretending like I still believe in the Jets. But if I'm being honest, church, deep on the inside, I don't believe in the Jets like I used to. And I wonder this morning, do you remember the beginning of the season of your Christian journey? Remember the beginning of the season of that journey, of that diagnosis? Remember the beginning of that situation, and you had that audacious hope and that crazy faith? I wonder this morning, church, I'd love to ask the question, do we still believe like we used to? And do we still worship like we used to? And do we still pray like we used to? And do we still speak by faith like we used to? Do we still believe God will show up and move and heal and restore like we used to? I wonder, church, what have we stopped believing for? I wonder in your life, think about this, what have you stopped believing for? Maybe you're here this morning and you're a faithful follower of Jesus and you believe that God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. You believe that he's the Alpha and the Omega. You believe that he is the great I Am, the resurrection and the life, that he died and rose again, defeated the devil, defeated sin, defeated who we used to be. And you believe that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's behind you, he's with you, and he's waiting for you in your future. You believe that he's above cancer, that he's above sickness, that he's above your family. Maybe you're here and you believe that, but if you're like me, there's some times in your life and you just don't know. And maybe you can see yourself in Mary and Martha. And while we know that they believed Jesus was the Messiah, they weren't sure if Jesus could move in there now. They maybe believed he could do it someday. But they didn't believe he could do it in there now. I love John 11 because Mary and Martha show this. This is important, church, that we can be a faithful follower of Jesus. And we can believe in God while at the same time struggle to believe he can do what his word says in our now. John 11 reminds us of two things that affect the faith of Mary and Martha. And I think if we can relate to these two things in our own life and circumstances, turn to your neighbor this morning and say, hey, get your hopes up. Turn to your other neighbor and say it maybe a little louder than a whisper. Say, hey, get your hopes up. Number one is this. John 11 reminds us two things. Number one, that affect our belief, our faith. Number one is delay. You ever face delay? I'm not talking about delay at the DMV, although that is some of the most painful delay a human being can ever experience. What I mean is that when life starts to feel like the DMV, and that thing that you've been praying for and that thing that you've been believing for takes longer than a couple weeks, and months go by, and years go by, and seasons go by, and you feel like you're sitting in the DMV of life waiting for your ticket to be called. And you look around and see other people's prayers being answered, and you're wondering, God, I've been waiting. And here in John 11, we see Jesus intentionally delay. I'm gonna read it again. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days. Jesus is intentionally delaying. The problem we are presented with is when Jesus eventually gets there, Lazarus is already dead. For Mary and Martha, the delay was only 2 days, but in the context of their situation, 2 days was heartbreakingly too long, especially because they sent word to Jesus. Said, God, you knew. Jesus, you were aware, and you still decided to wait. God, Jesus, why did you wait? Why did you delay? And so we get this honest response from Martha and Mary. If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Mary again in verse 32. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Essentially what they are saying is, Jesus, you are too late. And because you're too late, it's too late. The second thing that affects their belief, don't worry, this message gets more encouraging. The second thing that affects their faith is disappointment. You ever been disappointed? I'm not just talking about your football team. Been disappointed by those closest to you? Maybe you feel like you've been disappointed by family or the church. Maybe you even feel like you've been disappointed by God. Doesn't matter how young or old you are, disappointment finds all of us one way or another. It doesn't matter how long you've lived, church. I was a youth pastor for many, many years, and I watched middle schoolers face disappointment that I could not begin to fathom. The point is I don't have, and I understand, I don't have the authority to speak to your disappointment, but I believe John 11 does. Look at what it shows us. Mary and Martha are so disappointed with the delay of Jesus and the disappointment of their brother. Watch this. They accept a reality that Jesus has not accepted. They believed he could have healed him before, and if he was there earlier while Lazarus was sick, it could have happened. But now that he is too late and Lazarus is dead, death is out of the realm of what Jesus can do. Mary and Martha, catch this, church, show us with enough delay and disappointment, we are in danger of looking at what the weather feels like instead of what the reality of the actual temperature. Where we will have more faith in the reality of the natural than we do the reality of the supernatural. You know when you check the weather and it tells you what the temperature is, the actual temperature, and then it tells you, this is the world we live in, what it feels like. So it could be 50, but then it tells you it feels like negative 17. I don't like this feature because it affects my golf buddies. I'm the type of individual where I will golf in almost any weather. But some of my friends have golf minimums. They have a temperature minimum, and I know some of them, their temperature minimum is 60 degrees. But if we get a Saturday in this fall, I love Virginia Beach because we get 17 seasons all in just one of our seasons. If it's a Saturday morning and I see it's forecasted to be 60 degrees and I wake up and it's 60 degrees and I'll text that friend of mine and say, hey, 60 degrees, let's play golf. They say, Josh, it may be 60, but it says it's going to feel like 49. And so I'm not going to go golfing with you because it's going to feel like 49. I'm like, you're looking at the wrong temperature. And here is Mary and Martha, and understandably, I just think they're looking at the wrong temperature. And Jesus is there, and we know that he understands and he knows what it feels like. Jesus wept with them, but he reminds them, do not forget, I am the great I am. And get your eyes on the reality of the one who decides what the temperature even is. Nothing is over until I say it is over. Can I get an amen? Yeah. Jesus reminds us we don't have to live our faith based on what it feels like. We don't have to live our life and our faith based on what it feels like. But we can live our life based on what the real temperature is. What is the real temperature? It is the word of God. Mary and Martha show us with enough delay and disappointment, if we're not careful, we will focus on what the temperature feels like rather than what the actual temperature is. Second thing that happens with delay and disappointment, and the issue when we accept a reality that Jesus hasn't accepted, what usually follows is a Christian who has stopped asking. Once we've accepted a reality that Jesus has not yet accepted, what tends to follow, and church, I've been there, is a Christian who has stopped asking. Mary and Martha are faithful followers of Jesus. They've seen him work miracles. They've seen him. They have seen Jesus firsthand work miracles. They've seen him heal the sick, restore the sight of the blind, and here they are, yet here they are in the posture of defeat, standing before the very essence of victory. And what shocks me, church, is Jesus shows up and they don't ask. Essentially and understandably, Jesus shows up and they're mine too late, but they don't ask. Jesus, now that you're here, even though you're late and Lazarus is dead in our perspective because you're late, now that you're here, maybe, just maybe, could you maybe raise him from the dead? But read the story, they do not ask. I'm reading the story and I'm thinking to myself, just ask. The implication they give us is with enough delay and disappointment, catch this, if you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write this down. The implication they give us is with enough delay and disappointment, we begin to underestimate the power of Jesus and overestimate the power of our situation. And when we do that, we don't ask. I wonder this morning, church, what have you stopped asking for? What have you stopped asking for? The Holy Spirit has challenged me. There's been even things in my own life where, because it hasn't happened yet, even a healing in my own life, because it hasn't happened yet, I didn't realize that I stopped asking because I just accepted this is how it's gonna be. As I was preparing this message, I felt the Holy Spirit challenge and remind me and said, Josh, when was the last time you asked me to heal you of that thing? I wonder, church, what have you stopped asking for? Before we finish, Jesus gives us a powerful application. Jesus asks where Lazarus is. We read the story, and they take him to the tomb, and Jesus says, remove the stone. And here is Martha again. I mean, could it not be more obvious of what Jesus is about to do? Jesus asked them to remove the stone, and Martha still says, Jesus, he's been dead for 4 days. If we remove the stone, it's gonna smell. It's gonna smell of death, not realizing that Jesus was gonna make it smell like victory. And look what Jesus says in response to her. Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And here is the powerful application of this story this morning, of this moment in scripture that Jesus shows us. Because in most of the miracles of Jesus in scripture, Jesus uses his inside voice. Jesus just calmly speaks. But in this situation, in this circumstance, surrounded by unbelief, in the midst of delay, in the midst of disappointment, in the midst of the impossible, the Bible does not say that Jesus whispered to Lazarus. The Bible does not say that Jesus even sternly said to Lazarus. The Bible says that Jesus yelled, Lazarus, come out. What does that tell me? That tells me that his faith was loud. So church, what do we do when it takes longer than we expected? What do we do when we face defeat instead of victory? What do we do when we face disappointment instead of breakthrough? I increase the volume of my faith. And while the devil will use delay and disappointment to try to silence my faith, I will use delay and disappointment to increase the volume of my faith. And the more uncertain that it gets, the greater my faith will be. Come on, church. It's time. And here's what I love. This is what Jesus shows us. Because here's what's going to happen. We go back to our delay. We go back to our disappointment. And the enemy will try to whisper in your ear, don't get your hopes up. Stop believing. He should have showed up by now. And we learned something from John 11, and we need to remind ourselves and we need to remind the devil, Jesus is never late. Jesus is never late. Could it be that there's actually wisdom in the waiting? Could it be no matter how dark my miracle is, I know, or how dark my moment is, I know there's a miracle hiding in here somewhere. Could it be that Jesus is actually saving me and protecting me for a greater glory? And the more uncertain it gets, the greater my faith will be. Come on, church, if you believe it, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet this morning. I believe. I believe. I believe we need to believe again. Believe again. Believe again and get your hopes up. Get your hopes up. Not a someday faith, but a faith for now. A faith for God to do it now. And I believe we need to worship this morning. We're going to sing this song, Waymaker, again, because I believe as we worship and we increase the volume of our faith, our posture will begin to change from defeat and a lost hope, and it'll begin to change to a posture of faith and believing again. So come on, church, with every hand lifted in this place, let's continue to sing this morning. Come on, with every hand lifted in this place. Come on, church, if you believe it this morning, can we lift up a shout of praise? I believe it. I believe it. Believe again. Believe again. I pray it gets in your spirit this morning, church. Believe again. More than getting your hopes up, believe again. And I wonder why we're still standing in this place before we move forward to the service and speak to the generosity of who we are as a church. I wonder this morning, we talk about belief. I wonder, do you believe in God? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins, to surrender your life to Him? Maybe you're facing disappointment. Maybe you're hearing life's pretty good. Truth is, we're all in need of a Savior. We're all sinners saved by His grace. We're all in the same boat. Friend, I wonder this morning, God designed for you to be here today. He orchestrated for you to be in this service, and I wonder this morning, do you know Him? Do you know what it is to be in relationship with Jesus? Beyond even believing in Him, because the devil believes in God, have you surrendered your life to Him? Not do you attend church, but do you live with Him? Do you live for Him? In a moment, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads, and if you're a Christian in this place, I'm going to ask you to pray. Friend, the beauty of this gospel is that nobody is too far gone. And in a moment, I'm going to count to three. In a moment, when I count to three, I'm going to just ask you if you're in this place. I'm not going to call you down to the front. I'm not going to call you out. But I just want to know in a moment, when I count to three, just want to know who I'm praying for. Say, Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. I'm done living this life on my own. With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place, if you're a Christian, I want to encourage us to pray in this moment. I want to encourage parents in this moment, maybe you have a son or daughter who's away from God and they're not even in the service today. Pray for them right now. Pray for people in this service. In a moment, I'm going to count to three, and I'm just going to ask you to lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see and say, Josh, that is me. I need to surrender my life to Jesus. I am done living this life on my own. One, if that's you in this place, say, Josh, that's me. No matter how young, no matter how old, friend, you don't need to get yourself together. That's the beauty of this gospel. And if we could have got ourselves together, we would have done it by now. But just as you are, Jesus loves you. He died on the cross and rose from the grave, defeating sin and shame and the devil and who we used to be. You can come before Him just as you are too. If you're in this service today, and if you're being honest with yourself, you know that you've walked away from Him. You're backslidden this morning. If you're being honest, you know that you just need to come back home again. I got good news, friend. God is not angry. God is not mad. He's the God of as many chances as you and I need today. Three, if that's you in this place, lift your hand high enough and long enough for me to see it. Say, Josh, that's me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Somebody already online, another hand right there. Somebody online, another hand right there, another hand there. Once I've seen it, you can put it down. Give me a wave if I haven't seen it. Anybody else, say, Josh, that's me. Josh, that's me. I need to give my life to Jesus. There's already three hands. Somebody online made a decision. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just got to wait a moment longer. Another hand right there. I see you, sir. You can put your hand down. Anybody else? Come on, let's continue to pray. I believe there's one or two more. Come on, church, continue to pray. Come on, lift the volume of your faith. I believe there's maybe just one or two more people in this room. You say, Josh, you don't know the things that I've done, friend. I don't, but God does, and He still loves you. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. It's the beauty of the cross and the resurrection. Anybody else in this place? I believe there's one or two more. Your heart is beating, your stomach is turning. Friend, that's not my voice, that's not music. That is the Holy Spirit knocking on the door of your heart. Friend, do not leave this service today without knowing that your eternity is in heaven. Anybody else? Just give me a quick wave. High enough and long enough for me to see it. Another two hands right there. Amen. Church, can we lift our eyes? Can we give a huge shout of praise? Come on, church, can we give a huge shout of praise this morning? We're gonna say this prayer. We're going to say this prayer together as a church, as a community, as a family, especially if you raise your hand this morning. Maybe you didn't raise your hand, but in your heart, you know that you did. We're going to say this prayer, and I'm going to encourage you after we say this prayer, Pastor Rachel's going to come, and she's going to remind you about a connection card. And if you made that decision, can I challenge you, encourage you, fill it out? Because you need the church. You need people around you. Maybe you already go to a church. Go back to that one. If you're not a part of one, this is a great family to be a part of. Can I get an amen? Man, but we need each other. Your next step is plant yourself in God's house. Fill out that connection card. We'd love to walk with you in this journey. Can we say this prayer together, church? Come on, say Jesus.
Jesus.
Come on, say it with some passion. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying for me.
Forgiving me of my sins.
Forgiving me of my sins.
Raising from the dead.
Raising from the dead.
Giving me a hope and a future.
Giving me a hope and a future.
I believe.
I believe.
In my heart.
In my heart.
And I confess with my mouth.
I confess with my mouth.
That I'm a Christian.
That I'm a Christian.
I'm going to live for you.
I'm going to live for you.
And everybody said, amen, amen. One more time, let's give a huge shout of praise to every single person.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.